It's been a rough week with a lot of tension in the air, and we're talking about it with Lee Code. He's one of the pastors at The Crossing in Las Vegas. And Lee, fear has just felt like contagious this week, hasn't it?
It really has, both on a personal level, and then I think as the church, I think we've felt that so strongly, trying to navigate people's emotions and giving them some spiritual foundation. You know, oftentimes we talk theology, we talk concepts, we gather together, and they become sort of outside of ourselves. We go back to our normal lives. This current situation we're in is bringing all of that sort of to the center, right? Because when we get in a place where fear is strong, it also sort of reveals where we really are in our relationship with Christ.
You get to this place, you realize everything's chaotic and you feel stressed and you're like, what do I have to do to recenter? I've got to actually take every thought and put it captive under Jesus if I want to have any hope for anything changing.
Absolutely. So Scott, one of the approaches that I would just encourage people, sort of an axiom of my life, and it has worked a lot in situations like this, is in the midst of chaos, where is the ground to be gained? You're not going to find that in Scripture, but I think you're going to see it played out in the narrative of Scripture. What I mean by that is in these moments where we are unable to really predict. I mean, I'm an individual who loves, even from a pastoral perspective, I love routine and I love control. And so right now I feel like I've lost my routine and everything is out of control. So I have to continually go to God and remind myself in prayer, taking some deep breaths and then saying, in the midst of this chaos, where is the ground to be gained? Let me give you a few examples. So there are things in our life that we say, man, I wish I would do more of that. I wish I had time to lean into that. It can be spiritual, physical, emotional. Well, in the midst of chaos, where is the ground in your personal life to be gained? What are the habits that you need to now establish? And I know people are saying, but Lee, this and that and my job and potentially the economics, I get all of that. It's true. But just sitting on your couch and watching CNN and Fox News scroll by is not going to change anything. So how in the midst of this chaos do we find personal and family and church ground to be gained? We as a church have started to take that as something that we're strategically trying to do. It's like, what are we going to learn through this? What are the stories that we're going to hear from this? And how are we going to look different when we emerge? And we will emerge when we emerge on the other side.
We're talking with Lee Code. He's one of the pastors at The Crossing in Las Vegas. And Lee, how have you seen churches leading responsibility without leading in fear this last week? I mean, there's so much to consider when you think about safety of people, and then you think about spiritual attack, but then you also think about how we're shepherds to this community, and we have to protect people, and we have to look at our experts who are saying one thing, and we're putting all this together going, what do we do? Because we want to honor God, we want to serve people. There's so much information coming at us.
There really is. And I think it is a time where you need to sense what God is telling you. We spent probably 12 hours just wrestling with what does that look like for us in the coming weeks and months. You know, the church has largely been built around large gatherings, and every day we wake up and that gathering number has decreased what's been recommended. I think what we are learning is that the church isn't necessarily a destination. Again, it's one of those things that we rattle off and we say and we pretend to believe until we get to this point where you can't come to the building. You can't gather hardly in even your small group at this time. So what do we do? And I think, again, what it's going to reveal is it's going to reveal who we really are as people and who we are as human beings. You know, how do we then attack that? And so we as a church have had to stop services. Just this past weekend, as many churches around the country, we were an online experience, which we've always had an online presence, but this was fully online with our team. And we actually saw ground that was gained. We watched people pop in and begin to watch that we've never seen watch. We got pictures of people gathered in small gatherings, watching and having brunch and engaging together. So I don't know how sustainable that is for the long haul, but I believe that people were excited to experience church, the big C church, not the building, but church, in a new and a fresh way. And so we're confident going forward that as long as we have to, we're going to lean hard into that. We're going to make them must-see Sundays. So we're going to attempt, as people are looking forward to coming together in that new environment, that they'll have content that'll be inspiring, encouraging, and helpful for them in the present circumstances that we're in.
Every time I turn the news on this week, I just keep hearing the same phrases over and over and over again, and things like social distancing. And I'm not even sure how I want to take that as a Jesus follower. I'm Scott on SWS Radio. We're talking with Lee Cote. He's one of the pastors at The Crossing in Las Vegas. And social distance basically means distancing yourself from anyone that we can slow down the spread of sickness. And I get the germ part of it. And then I also see the other end of the pendulum that can swing towards isolation. It's interesting because we want to serve people. We want to protect people. And there's this challenge that we have as a church. I think there's still some ways where we can serve people even if we're not in their presence.
It's true. You know, when we experienced 9/11, we came together. People flocked to the church. We hugged. We cried. When we experienced 1 October here in Las Vegas just a short time ago, we did the same thing. We gathered and we responded in that way. But now we have this virus, if I can call it, this enemy that's silent and it's invisible. And I think appropriately so, as you just mentioned, we are physically distancing. And that's so odd because typically these moments of crisis have brought us physically together. And the temptation we now face is that this will become permanent, right? That what we're currently being asked to practice, and again, should be practicing, will become in some ways permanent. So I think we have to ask the question that I think you just asked so well, and the idea of how do we make sure this doesn't become permanent, that this season of social distancing doesn't make us all socially distant going forward. And so I think it needs to happen in pockets. I think there are ways in which we can reconnect one-on-one with people, that we can make sure, especially the elderly, those who are most susceptible to this, that maybe are hunkering down even more than we are, that they are taken care of, that we can text, call, knock on their door, that maybe we can reconnect with some people that we haven't reconnected with for a long time. I think there are ways in which we can encourage and affirm. We've got people, even as some are stepping back from their work for right now, we have some that are having to lean heavily in. You think about people who are supplying supplies, grocery workers, pharmacy workers. You think about people who are in the medical care industry and what that looks like in healthcare. And so how do we encourage them? How do we affirm them? And we as a church are committed to doing that. And I know talking to people all over the city, I've lived in this city for almost 30 years, and I've watched this city grow, and I've watched the churches step up every time. And even as I talk to my friends and leaders at other churches, we're going to make that happen again. It may look a little different this time, but we are committed to doing that. We're having conversations right now. There are kids that are home from school that are going to need to have resources. How do I fill my time? So we're creating online resources as I speak to you that will help parents fill that time. We're encouraging parents to create new routines, to not just make it a time where we're just on vacation, but there's new routines that they're taking and providing some of that. And we're going to provide some spiritual direction as well. What am I reading every day? How am I connecting with Christ every day in this? And I would encourage people to, one, do that personally, and then be very aware of how to do that with others around them. I think our team is being challenged to actually get back to pastoring, if I can candidly say that. That sometimes in the church, we get to the point where we are doing ministry and the demands and the task and what church looks like in 2020. But now that that's been stripped away, I think we're aggressively and we're really loving being able to lean back into how do we pastor our people even when we can't be with them. And that is the challenge of this next season.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there's isolation, there's community building, but you can do community building without being in large groups. I mean, there's so many amazing organizations in our city that are serving the homeless, like the Las Vegas Rescue Mission or Project 150, or serving our Kids Foundation that helps with food insecure kids who don't have meals on the weekend. You know, there's things like Club Christ, which do tutoring for a lot of kids. And we can support those organizations even when we can't be present to do the work alongside them. Maybe our situation is a little different, or maybe there are opportunities.
That's right. We are thinking specifically even of an organization, Casa de Luz, which operates real close to where we're sitting right now. And they are constantly getting food supplies, but now those food supplies are potentially being diverted to more prioritized need. And so how are we as the church is going to step in behind that and help those individuals that are right there in the middle of a neighborhood that depends on that food supply, how are we going to help them? And so we're responding immediately to that. And I believe that the churches around this community, again, I'm a what I consider basically a lifelong Las Vegan, and I believe that churches will step up in this season. And I want to encourage my friends out there to make that happen.
One of the coolest things is when you see the church serve the zip code that it's in. When the people in that zip code, even if they don't believe what we believe yet, or they don't know what we know yet, but they say, you know what, that church on the corner, they feed us. They provide for our kids. They help tutor my kids after school. They have programs and things running over there. This is a good thing for our neighborhood. And when they're in that place where they start asking questions or they start feeling a little bit hopeless, like a week like this week, we're finding a lot of people that are now asking questions today that they weren't asking last month. And there's an opportunity for our churches to shine.
Yeah, it's the church being Acts 2, you know, where we are gathering together and we're meeting needs, both those that were within the church and those that are not yet there. And we want to be that church. I mean, again, the virus can't contain the Church of Jesus Christ, Scott. It's going to continue to expand. And it's even in seasons like this where we've seen it expand more. To your point, people begin to ask different questions. They begin to have different needs. They begin to look at their life from a different perspective, even as it slows down. For some of us, this slowdown is so drastically needed. It feels painful. It hurts. We don't love it. But for some of us, we were moving at such a speed and there was so much noise that this forced slowdown could be instrumental what our life looks like when we get to the other side. And again, I want to reassure people, we are not given a spirit of fear, but we are going to stand firm. We talked last weekend at the crossing about the story of the children of Israel standing in front of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army bearing down in the cloud of dust as their horses were coming and the chariots were coming. It's a story we all know, whether we grew up in church or whether we just watched it on television or on the movies. And the interesting thing is when Moses stood up and said, "Fear not, stand firm, God will be our help." They had no idea what that help was really going to look like. There was no understanding that the waters were about to part. They actually had to step into the waters, and then they began to part. And so right now, we still may have some questions around where is our actual help going to come from, but we need to stand firm. We need to know that that help will arrive, and that maybe we are the help that God is going to provide for others. We may be the one that needs to stand firm. We may be the parting of the sea for our friends and our neighbors and those that are around us.
We're talking with Pastor Lee Coat from The Crossing today at SOS Radio. There's some verses in the Bible that always leave us just scratching our heads. Sometimes make you feel like confused, like, okay, how does this apply and where I'm at today? How is the Bible relevant to what we're walking to? We're talking about school closures and businesses that affect us closed up, or even the possibility of having to stay in our house. But like in 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but in those circumstances.
And I think while we're in them, I think we're going to become more grateful for the times when we were out of these circumstances. Scott and I were just talking about missing our Vegas Golden Knights, you know, and just the experience of that. And so many of us, and again, it's hockey in the face of everything. It's a small thing, but it's those things that I believe when that season is there again, and we're sitting in those seats and we're cheering on our team, and we have to believe that those things will happen, that we will be even at a level more grateful for those moments. We'll hug our family a little tighter. We'll be grateful when we walk back into our church buildings and we can worship together in hundreds and thousands. We'll be grateful for our small group. We won't be annoyed that we have to gather. We'll be grateful for when that Tuesday night comes and our small group is happening. All of these things that we, as humans, can quickly just become routine and take for granted. I think a new, fresh perspective will be something God will give us on the other side of this.
I think a lot of us needed a little bit of a pause to reset our perspective, because there's a lot of things in church we take for granted.
Here's the thing, another axiom, forgive me. In the midst of chaos, there's ground to be gained. The second one that I'm telling our team and telling the people around me right now is when you don't know what to do, do what you know. And what we know in our faith, what we know in our lives, we need to be doing those things right now. So where there's uncertainty and we're not sure what 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 6 months looks like. When you don't know what to do, do the things that you do know. Reconnect with God on a deeper level. Connect with your family. Take care of yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally. Do those things that you know, and don't allow yourself to sink into a place where you're unable to function because of the things that you don't know. Again, we know that God is bigger than this. We know that God is in control. Now, some days we may be hanging by a thread in that belief, but we know that. And so when you don't know what to do, do what you know. Maybe make a list of the things that you know, and then focus in the next week or two on those things and make sure that those become the new priority and the new routine in your life. I think those are practical ways to take things that we sometimes operate in some sort of a spiritual woo-hoo kind of existence and merely make them practical in our everyday lives in this time.
You know, our perspective on everything is so limited, and we're talking with Pastor Lee Cote from The Crossing today. All we can see is what's happened already, right? And then we tend to freak out about all the what-ifs in life for the future. And trusting God's easy when things are going smooth, but during times like we're going through right now where there's some turbulence, what have you learned about dealing with the fear of what-if, Lee?
I think when you deal with the fear of what-if, I think it's back to the story of Moses when the Red Sea parted. Moses didn't know the Red Sea was going to part. It parted, they walked through, they got to the other side. I have to think that the level of faith, the level of confidence, the level of assurance that Moses had moving forward from that day would have helped him navigate the next what if. And we know in that story that there were plenty of coming what ifs. So I think in our own lives, we sort of have to look backwards to the other seasons of what if or what is going to happen, and now live in the fact that we've been here. We've lived there. We've seen that. We've experienced that uncertainty. And we live in that confidence of that. I want to be careful not to tell people, you know, you shouldn't be fearful. You shouldn't feel sad. You shouldn't feel those emotions. I don't think that's real. I think those were emotions that were created in us, that God gave us. But I think there are things that come on the other side of those emotions that are helpful. So when we feel sadness, we don't disguise that or deny it, but we move through that towards a place of authentic joy, right? And when we feel afraid, we don't deny that, but we move towards that to a place of ultimate faith. So we let our fear drive us to faith. We allow our sadness to drive us to joy. That doesn't happen instantaneously, but I think partly with us doing the hard work day to day of walking, right? Not knowing what to do, we do what we know, and walking in that God's going to show up. He already has, and he will. And let's be that to those that are around us.
Yeah, and when we deal with all these what-if questions, we always jump to the negative. Oh, what if this crash and burns? Well, what if God actually shows up? What if people in your church show up? What if someone in the community shows up? And there's some sort of miraculous thing that you never, ever saw coming because your blinders were just so strict on your face that you weren't looking anything optimistically, that everything was filtered through a pessimistic lens.
I think if we're honest in our personal life, and even as a part of a church team and the church that I get to be a small part of pastoring, I think we do become confident in ourselves, you know, versus where, you know, Paul says, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in us will continue it in Christ Jesus. I think it's in seasons like this where our self-confidence is shook, and it's probably helpful. Because some of us, we have been overconfident in who we are, our lives, and we have winked at God and said, God's compartmentalized. Yes, God's a part of our lives, but now our confidence has shifted, and our confidence needs to be back in him, not in the lives that we've built or the careers that we've built or the bank accounts that we've built. Mm-hmm. Those things are all important. And we need to pay attention to those things, but that ultimately God is where our confidence must rest. And so let's do that together and place our confidence fully in him again.
So are you guys doing online again this weekend?
Scott, we're going to be doing online for the next season until we are able, based on what's recommended to us, to again gather. We will be doing online services at The Crossing at our normal service times, 8:30, 10, 11:30, and 6 p.m., both on our website, live stream platform, and live on Facebook. We encourage people to be faithful to their church, where they attend. If there's an online service that they attend that's offered by their church, they need to be there viewing. But if they're outside of that and they're not connected and they needed something to fill the gap, we'd encourage them to head over to thecrossinglv.com, and they can find those resources there.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Pastor Lee. Appreciate it.
Scott, you're awesome. Go Knights.